on Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
And the Duke is with us. How are you, Duke? Well?
I'm very well, thanks, Cozzy. I've been here, there and everywhere over the last, probably about the last 12 months. But it was a big weekend, let me tell you.
Anthony has a party's nearly getting RSI winning big races, isn't he?
Oh, I tell you what, I was fortunate enough, I actually stayed with Anthony on Friday night after the Ballarat Cup, and he was absolutely delighted. We're going to speak with him a little bit later, Cozzy, but in the space of 24 hours, he won two feature races at Dapto and the Dapto Puppy Classic with Topper Toretto, and then on Friday evening, he took out the Group 2 Ballarat Cup with Zambora Brocky. $200,000 in prize money in two races in two nights. And then, just to be greedy, he won four at Sale yesterday afternoon.
Holy hell.
He's having an amazing trot. And look, as I say, he's set up that he's got at Merneong is absolutely first class. It is spotless. And I mean absolutely spotless. And I walked into the kennels on Friday lunchtime. And they're a credit to him and Kylie and his entire family. And as I said, we'll talk with Anthony a little bit later. It was a massive, massive weekend of greyhound racing. It kicked off on Thursday night with that Dapto Puppy Classic. We're going to hear more about that race because there was a scratching of a greyhound by the name of Topper Sway, who is a litter sister to Topper Toretto, the winner. But there's a lot of conjecture and a lot of controversy in regards to the scratching of Topper Sway, whether or not she went through the auction. That race was restricted to greyhounds that were sold at the Dapto Puppy Auction. Greyhound Racing New South Wales made the only call they possibly could with the evidence that they had been provided up until that time. So we could discuss that on the Catching Pen on Tuesday night. But as I said, there'll be much more to come out of the Dapto Puppy Classic final from Thursday night. Topper Toretto won that. He went through the series undefeated at Angle Park on Thursday night in the Group 3 Brian Johnson final there. Cameron Butcher, well, he's having a year to remember it in Adelaide. Of course, his star is Wormburner, who's off the scene after we think he's been bitten by a spider bite. But Cameron trained the trifecta of the Group 3 Brian Johnson. It was won by On Fire. Thursday night also at Sandown Park, we had heats of the Sir John Dillon and Buck 40 for Davey Boy Pringle, ran the best of the night, trained by Jason Thompson. That final will be held this Thursday. Buck 40 has come up with box number 3, Dundee Osprey, well drawn out in box number 8. Thursday night, of course, at Albion Park, we had five heats of the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup, 30 Talks in 29.77, Zabden Ferrari 29.86, What a Nice Size 29.88, three winners for Tony Brett on the night. We'll speak with Tony a little bit later. Blaze and Bomber, the only interstate greyhound to race at Albion Park, he scored in 29.75 for Darren Pattinson, and Tony Appap's Outside Pass, she's absolutely electrifying last Thursday night. She ran 29.61, the fastest of the five heats there, and we're going to speak with Tony in just a moment. The Group 2 Ballarat Cup Finals, Zambora Brocky. Not only did he win the $77,000 first prize, but because he'd won two Group 2 Country Cups, Cozzy.
Bonus.
Another 50 grand jumps into the till.
Just a bit of loose change.
It was a terrific race. Brocky began well, and then Judicial Man punched up underneath him, got in front, but then the class shone through in the home straight, and he scored from Judicial Man. Weekend Binge ran third. They ran 25.02. The Group 2, Group 3 Summer Cup heats at Wentworth Park for the Stayers on Saturday night. Lovelace won its heat in 42.65, and Acheron ran exactly the same time. That final, that will be held this Saturday night. The box draw for that, Winsome April in 1, Ring the Bell 2, Whittaker 3, Nangar Flame in 4, Acheron in 5, Melissa's Pride in 6, Gunnedoo Cove 7, and Lovelace has drawn box number 8. And then, to top off, it was a mammoth weekend. We had heats of the Group 2 Laurels at Sandown Park yesterday afternoon. The Group 1 Hume Cup winner, Fanta Bale, won Heat 1 in 29.49. The fastest time went to Corena, which won the last heat in 29.20, the semis this week and the final in a couple of weeks' time. But right now, let's talk with one of Queensland's leading trainers, Tony Appap, who prepares the very, very good little race pitch in Outside Pass. Morning, Tone.
Good morning, Mark.
You must have been delighted. I looked at a win on Thursday night, Tony, and I don't know what you thought of it, but to me, she came back from that stint in Melbourne where she was desperately unlucky in the Melbourne Cup, and she just put it all together. She began well from box 3 and ran 29.61, but to me it was just the way that she actually won the race, Tony.
Yeah, Mark, the relief for me really coming back and No, I couldn't be any more happier. I was a bit worried being next to Lucid Desires. We know he can make a bit of noise in the boxes. That was always a bit of a worry, but she handled it pretty well.
There were excuses for her in the Melbourne Cup, and I'm not talking about the actual race itself, but pre-race there was a lot of noise, there were a lot of fireworks, and I saw you with her, and whilst the other dogs were still down in the parade area, you'd actually taken her up to the boxes. She didn't handle the commotion very well.
Oh, I know, mate. She's a little bit on a timid side. Morning of the race, I put her in the yard at Peter's place where I was staying. I had to go and get her out. She was feeling enormous. She was doing cartwheels. I got her out of the kennel to go to the race, and she was doing the same thing again. I thought, well, I can't get this bitch any better. And unfortunately, the big speaker on the track where they were introducing the runners, we moved up beside that, and she just freaked out, Mark. And I couldn't hold her. I had to go back. That's why she came out last, I thought. When she came out, she normally stays off the track a bit, but that particular night, she went straight to the rails. I thought just to get away from the noise of the speaker. So, you know, after all that, it was a really huge run. She's only finished two lengths from the overall winner, so it was a big runner after all that.
She's had a big campaign. She's had a big year, but she's handled herself so well. Having said that, she's been desperately unlucky not to win a feature race final. As I said, on Thursday night in the heats of the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup, she ran 29.61. Tony, on Friday evening, which is when the cup will be run, she's drawn box number 7, but she's got Not Like Tommy in box 8 drawn outside of her, not a noted fast beginner, and Lady Abigail, also not a noted fast beginner, drawn inside of her. She is due for a change of luck in a big race final and hopefully will give you your first ever Group 1 winner.
Yeah, that would be nice, Mark. That's what you dream of. Yeah, look, I like her out there. I always said I like her drawn off the track a bit. All she's got to do is come out like she did last Thursday, Mark, and she'll put herself in the race.
She's had 37 starts for 16 wins and 8 minor placings, but she's got a bit of an affinity with Sandown Park, but having said that, she's also got a terrific affinity with Albion Park, where she's run the hands off the clock. She ran 61 on Thursday. She's run 68 there. She's run 76. To your mind, Tony, is Albion Park her best track?
Oh, Mark, you know, she's gone time everywhere I've taken her. I mean, Wentworth Park, she's gone 29.6 at Wentworth Park, you know, and ahead of the Easter Egg. And Adelaide, she's gone 29.5 at Adelaide first look. So she's adapted to everywhere I've taken her. She's just a tough little animal, Mark.
Tony, what do you do with her post-Brisbane Cup? Is it time for a bit of a let-up with her?
Oh, well, she's going so well, Mark. I don't know. I've always liked to try her over the 600, so we're even thinking of the sale race, Mark. We'll just see what happens after Friday.
Yeah, and of course, you're talking about the Group 1 Sale Cup. The final for that race will be run on Boxing Day night. And again, Tony, as you say there, she's always giving you the impression that she'd run a very, very strong 600 metres.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, mate, she wouldn't even blow a candle out after the 500-metre race. She runs over, so very clean-winded. As I say, I can't wait to see her over 600.
All right, well, best of luck this Friday evening. As I said, outside passes drawn box number 7. Currently $2.40 in favourite to win the Group 1 Brisbane Cup, and as I said, to give you, Tony Appap, your first ever Group 1 winner. Best of luck, mate.
Thanks, Mark. Cheers.
Tony Appap there. Outside pass is going to face very, very formidable opposition in the shape of the likes of 30 Talks, and who ran 29.77. Zabden Ferrari ran 29.86. What a Nice Size ran 29.88. All three of those greyhounds were prepared by this man, Tony Breck. Good morning, Tone.
Morning, G. How are you going?
You're having a terrific run as always, mate. You took out the Ipswich Cup with 30 Talks, and we were speaking about the bad run of box draws he had. He drew box one in the final of the Ipswich Cup and came out and brained them. He then had box one last Thursday evening, back to Albion Park and ran 29.77. He's drawn box 3 this week, Tony, inside of What a Nice Size, outside of Zabden Ferrari. How often do we see a trainer with multiple runners in a feature race final and they all draw beside each other?
Yeah, it does seem to happen a lot, Mark, and this is done on track after the races. So there's no computer glitch there. It's just how the marbles fall. So Luckily for mine, yeah, the three are boxed okay in the way they are. Their running style, yeah, the boxes has worked out all right, hopefully, if they keep doing what they normally do.
All right, let's talk about Zabden Ferrari first, because this greyhound's drawn box number two, and we know he's a quick beginner, Tony. He'll probably want to hunt to the fence as well.
Yeah, he probably will, Duke, and he normally is a quick beginner. He missed it last week, and I just put that down to that's his first run back at Albion for nearly a month or so now, after Sandown and then to Ipswich and back to Albion. So, mate, it can be tough on these dogs, sort of just changing different boxes and different tracks all the time. So he doesn't normally miss it twice in a row. So, I expect him to come out a lot cleaner this week. And if he can outpace the crazy vixen on the inside, mate, he could find himself just sitting on the rail, hopefully.
And, Tone, we talk about boxes, and maybe what not a lot of greyhound punters and greyhound fans will know is that there are different boxes. It's not a uniform box that we use throughout Australia, which I think is a little bit silly. I think we should have uniform boxes, because if you go to Wentworth Park, they've got a 250mm grill size at the front of the box, whereas if you go to Sandown Park, it's 350mm, and people go, well, it's only 100mm. But as a trainer, Tony, you know that a greyhound may get down at Wentworth Park, but because that grill size is a little bit bigger at Sandown Park, they tend to stand up. That's how come they can miss the start sometimes.
Yeah, Duke, all too often. And like you said, the normal day-to-day punter probably just doesn't know that. And even in Queensland, like our two tracks, the lure noise, the lure run-up, they're all different. So it's not like you're going from exactly the same week after week sort of thing. And a dog like 30 Talks, who doesn't tend to get down low, he tends to just sit his eye level sort of just below the grill. Like you said, that can be... when you go to, say, Lismore race, 25 centimetres, so he gets down nicely, whereas Sandown, he's sort of half standing in the boxes. So there's a lot that comes into play that, like you said, the normal punter doesn't even realise, but we try and work that out.
Is it what, as a trainer, Tone, what do you do? I mean, you've got boxes at home, obviously. Do you cover it up, or do you make it a bit smaller if you're giving them box work?
Yeah, same thing, Mark. You sort of because it's on a drag lure, it's not a track lure, so there's no noise at home. So it's sort of hard to do, mate. And you find the better dogs, they sort of, because they've raced at these tracks, so they know what their routine is. And the dogs are huge dogs of habit, so they get to know the different tracks. I've got no doubt. And like you said, come Friday night, 30 Talks, all you'll see is probably his eyes and the top of his nose at the top of the grill, whereas the likes of Zabdon Ferrari, just as the lure's starting, I look for his two front feet, and if they come forward, it usually means he's down and ready to go. So, little things like that, we just put him in and hope in the long run that the work's paid off.
You talk about racing traits of greyhounds, and we spoke about 30 Talks a couple of weeks ago, Tony, where he'd had a run of really bad boxes. He drew box six three times in a row. He drew box five a couple of times. I don't think he'd drawn closer than two in about 10 starts. And you thought he was altering his racing style, whereas early in his career, he's a good railer. But with those bad boxes and that, he was looking to get off the track. And I guess, as I said, he's drawn two reds at his last two starts, and he's come out and brained them. He won by 9.5 lengths on Thursday night. He moves to box three on Friday night in the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup final. What are you expecting him to do in that run to the first turn?
Mark, he should go pretty straight. Honestly, I probably prefer two or three than the one. Even though he's one out of the one, if you put a foot wrong out of the one, they tend to want to push you into the rail, whereas... Mate, he'll go fairly straight from the three, but he just needs to show that speed when he leaves. Like I said, he should get a fairly good run, because Zabdon Ferrari will go to the rail, and what a nice size. He just tends to move up the track about a box, sometimes two, so he'll be heading out rather than in. So, mate, the big boy could get a nice run, and if he does, well, we'll get to see his best.
He's had a big boom on him since Lenny Antonio paid $30,000 for him as a pup at the 2014 Richmond Riches Puppy Auction. He won that race series earlier this year. And I guess, Tone, you know, bad boxes can bring about the downfall of champions, and he hasn't been blessed with good boxes in big race finals.
No, Duke, and mate, like you said, there's a few sort of factors. Even the fact the box is a major one, but mate, he's a little bit of a barker in the kennels. He gets pretty excited in when you kennel him up. So a later race, he gets to be in there for a bit longer, and he gets a bit more excited. So mate, all the time we're just trying to combat those things and get him out as early as you can and things like that. So he's not the dream quietest boy to train by any means, but he can really run. And yeah, like I said, I don't mind where he's drawn. And mate, he pulled up good after Thursday night. He was a little bit flat after the Ipswich Cup final. So this week he's pulled up good, and the extra day is going to be lovely. No, mate, he'll be prime ready to go. They've got one more slip. I'll put him up again on Wednesday morning. They come up this morning, and then it's all up to them.
You must be delighted that What a Nice Size has made it through into the Group 1 Brisbane Cup final. He's a greyhound. He's had a couple of bad falls during his career, but he's bounced back. He's now won 20 out of 48, Tone, and he was terrific on Thursday night as well, running 29.88, the best time he's run at Albion Park for quite some time.
Yeah, Duke, like you said, he looked like, well, he still is. He looked like having like a real big career in front of him, and a couple of little injuries, and like I said, a couple of falls, and he is one that has sort of changed his racing style, especially at Albion Park. Like I said, he tends to want to use a little bit of the track. He doesn't want to sort of head to the rail, and he did that last week, and mate, yeah, there's plenty of petrol in them old legs. I think he ran 29.89 nearly 2 years to the day, and here he is 2 years later running 29.88. So as a trainer, mate, yeah, that's thrilling when they do that, and to see him in a big final. And, mate, if he did everything right, he'd be in there with a show for sure. 29.88, that's probably going good enough to win the final if there's a little bit of scrimmage. But, mate, it just depends on the run some of these real good dogs get.
It was on the 7th of December 2014, Tony, on a Albion Park Sunday meeting, a grade 5 there, that he ran 29.89. It's a long while to be able to keep a dog up and to, as I say, be able to get him to still perform at his best. Going into this week's Friday night final, you've got Zabnon Ferrari in 2, 30 Talks in 3, What a Nice Size in box 3. Of those three, who do you think is your best chance? And outside of those three, who do you think is the toughest to beat?
Oh, mate, toughest to beat for sure. Outside Pass, she's just in superb form, and she loves Albion Park, and yeah, she hasn't drawn too bad out there. And mate, as a team, I don't know if they're meant to work as a team, but that's probably What a Nice Size's job. He's got to run cover for the other two, and if he does, mate, I give them a good chance. Like I said, they've drawn all right, and I think Zabdon can nearly lead the race. And if he does, he's going to run his 29.88. It's just a matter of whether that's quick enough. But, mate, I do know how good Blazing Bomber is. I've seen him come from behind and run down some very, very good dogs. So I want a break no matter who it is on Blazing Bomber and Outside Pass. And then you've got Tommy, who run the race of his life last week.
But Flash time, yeah.
He's going to be coming from behind. So it's a pretty intriguing little race. And like I said, mate, I think if you can get in front and on the bunny and running somewhere around the 29.8, 29.9 mark, you'll just about grab it.
Well, Tone, best of luck this week. As I said, you've been in terrific form, not just this year, for a number of years. And let's hope you can add another hometown cup to the mantelpiece.
Appreciate it, mate.
Tony Brett there, and as I said, he'll play a really strong hand in the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup on Friday night, and it's a change to the norm, and we're going to find out why. General Manager of Albion Park Greyhounds, Luke Gatehouse, joins us now. You've switched from Thursday night to Friday night. Is that to try and capture a bit more of the crowd that can get there on what is a better night of the week for him, Lukey?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mark. We're looking at the first time ever having a Friday night Group 1 final, following on Sandown do it very successfully. So just to try and open it up, but isn't a work day the next day, so we're hoping that people will come along.
You've got a big night planned. There's a marquee on track with a few celebrities there.
Yeah, we've got Justin Hodges, former Broncos, Maroons and Kangaroos legend, and also Chris Lynn, who is probably the best batsman in 2020 cricket in Australia at the moment.
North of New South Wales, yeah. But the thing about Chrissy Lynn, he absolutely loves his greyhounds, and I think he owns a few of them as well.
Yeah, Hodjo's the same. He'll just pop in on a Thursday night, a Wednesday afternoon, and enjoy an afternoon at the dogs as well. So guys that really like their greyhound racing, and we've got a lot of sports stars these days who are into it, and you know we've got a quick connection with Blaze and Bomber in the big final.
We sure have. Trained by Darren Pattinson, who played one test for England. And, of course, his brother James Pattinson is one of Australia's top young fast bowlers. Lukey, what about tickets on the night to the Marquee? Where do they get them?
Yeah, through the club. Just contact us directly. You can get a link through our website, which is brisgraves.com. It's $65 for the meal and show. Plus, you've also got general admission tickets if you don't want a meal there at $25 each. And you get to hear Justin Hodges and Chris Lynn and enjoy the big Aussie barbecue.
All right. How about a tip for the final?
Yeah, look, I like Outside Pass. I think she's drawn to win the race. But it's, you know, 29.80 is where you've got to be. Every greyhound that's in the final was 30 seconds or less. So it will be box rise and who gets the luck.
Yeah, it sure will. Blaze and Bomber currently sits at $5.50 after drawing the visitor's box of box number 5. Favourite is Outside Pass at $2.40, $3.50 about 30 talks, $5.50 for Blaze and Bomber. It is shaping up to be a cracker of a race, shaping up to be a cracker of a night. Can't wait to get there, Lukey. I'll see you trackside on Friday evening.
Look forward to it, Duke.
Luke Gatehouse there from Albion Park. Talk about a big night at Albion Park. Talk about a big 24 hours for this man, Anthony Asapati. Welcome back to Going Greyhounds. You're a regular every Monday now.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Let's start with Topper Toretto on Thursday night at Dapto, the Group 3 Dapto Puppy Classic Final. $75,000 to the winner. He'd run the fastest time in the heats, the fastest time in the semi-finals, had box 4 for the third week in succession. It was a tough race to win, but he was tough to win it, Ant.
He was tough, you know. He done it hard in the final. He didn't get his own way at the start. You know, he moved in a little bit and got galloped on the first turn. I thought, well, there goes the chances. But, mate, he's just full of confidence, you know, and he just punched underneath that leader, and yeah, and he didn't look right down the back, you know. He was flicking that tail, and I said to my missus beside me when watching, I said, something's gone wrong here. He's not really stretching out that good, you know, and he's to do what he done to win, you know, was a big effort, you know, because he tore his hamstring pretty bad.
Yeah, and I can vouch for that because I was at the kennels when Les Shepherd, who'd handled Topper Toretto for you for the previous 3 weeks, driving up for your base at Murnie on to Dapto. When Les brought Topper home and you put him in the outside yard and you went over him, he wasn't a happy boy. He felt that hamstring on his near side back leg very, very much.
Yeah, he did. You know, you seen how he was hopping on it and stuff, and you know, to win a hold off Van Dickie, it was a very, very good job to do that, you know.
He showed plenty of heart, Tone, and not only did he show heart, but so too did his owner, Fran Harris, who had the misfortune of having Topper Sway withdrawn the day before the race due to at this stage, we're putting it down to a clerical mix-up or a problem with the dog going through the auction, whether he was eligible or whether he wasn't. GRNSW, as I said, in my opinion, they made the only call they had. But it was quite just for Fran and for Tony that Topper Toretto was able to win.
Yeah, mate, you know, they were pretty upset over a lot of things, you know. And you know, to reward them like that is second to none, you know. And, mate, you know, what they're going through is, you know, they weren't real good at the time, but look, he won for him, and, you know, that spiced up their day, that's for sure.
How long off, Tone? Anthony, what, 3 or 4 weeks maybe?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 weeks. I don't think I'll have him riding time for the Silver Chief now. So, look, we'll just keep our eye on it. We've started machining it now and stuff. And, look, he's walking a lot better now, but it's going to take at least 3 weeks at least, you know?
All right, from Dapto, we headed to Ballarat on Friday evening, Zambora Brocky. We spoke before, after, during the race, whatever. Whether or not it's because of his age, whether or not it's been because he's been up for so long, which is what you think, he began brilliantly, then got headed, that little bit of a flat spot, but then when they turned for home, he just roared away.
They were in trouble when he balanced up, when he turned for home, I can tell you. you know, his strength is just unbelievable, isn't it? You know, he just continues to punch on, go with the best, beat the best, you know. And, you know, on Friday night when I saw him win, that was probably, for me personally, was the best ever, you know, because I know what he's gone through, you know, and, mate, he's just such a champion, I tell you.
Four Group 2s now. He's won three Country Cups, which is why he ended up with a $50,000 bonus, and Friday night was worth $127,000 to win the Ballarat Cup. He won the shootout at Sandown Park a few weeks ago. He also won the 2015 Group 1 Vic Peters Classic, the 2016 Group 1 Winter Cup at Albion Park. And as you said, he's just been a warhorse, Anthony. $560,000 in prize money. 30 wins from 49 starts. He is coming towards the end of his career, sooner rather than later, but you've still got one big race on the agenda, and that's the Hobart 1000.
Yeah, the Hobart 1000 is his next goal, you know, and, he's had a stellar career, you know what I mean, and, we're getting a lot of inquiries about him in stud too, you know, so he's going to have a bright future after racing too, you know.
You've spoken to Charlie Azzopardi, his owner, regarding his future. It must be tough to pull the pin on a greyhound that is racing at his best and beating the best. But as I say, there's one career which is on the racetrack. There's another career post-racing at start, and we know there's big dollars involved there as well.
Yeah, look, you know, Charlie's you can't get a better owner than Charlie, you know. He just said, look, he goes, after the Hobart 1000, we'll have a talk. He said, you know, I think his intentions to keep him going a little bit longer, probably up to February. That's what he's sort of said to me. But he said anything can happen before then. So he said, let's get through the Hobart 1000, see what happens, you know?
Yep. So we've got heats of that race on Thursday week, the final on Thursday, December the 22nd. Big weekend. You had four winners at Sale yesterday. I just want to ask you a bit about a greyhound before you go, and I know you're going to aim him up for the Silver Chief, and that's a greyhound by the name of Roar Ability, which is owned and trained by your wife, Kylie. He's had four starts to date. He's run the best of the time in all four of those races, winning by absolute cricket pitches. 14 lengths, 10 lengths, 6.5 lengths, 10 lengths. He's been off the scene since the 8th of November. Where is he at, Anthony?
Yeah, look, he's back in work. I've trialled him now, and he ran about 6/10 best of the morning up Hillsville. I'm going to punch him up again on Wednesday, and then I'm going to trial him at Sale. There's one to four wins before the Silver Chief, and I'm going to put him in that. And, he's right on target. He's pretty fit now, and I just gave him a bit of a let up, you know, because he's only a young dog, and I just don't want to keep pushing him because he's too young, he's too fast, you know, and don't want him breaking down on me.
He was bred by Jacqueline Davis. He's by Barcia Bale out of Bugatti Flyer, and it was a nice little gift from her to you for all the work that you've helped her with as well.
Yeah, it was a lovely gift, you know, and she always told me, you know, I want to give you a pup, but the first litter I had too many dogs, and I said, I didn't want a pup, but she ended up getting one of these Barcia Bales, and you know, I really appreciate it. You know, that's a terrific family. You know, I've known them nearly all my life, you know, Richard Dean and Pat and Jackie and all that. You know,
you've had a lot of support, mate, yeah.
You know, a lot of support, you know, and she's very happy, you know. She's her own Brewbitch produced such a good litter, you know, and her one's going good too. So, yeah, no, it's really good, you know.
All right. Well, as I said, the winners keep on coming. Well done to you, mate. I'm so happy for you. And we'll see Brocky at Hobart on December the 15th.
Thank you, Mark.
Anthony Azzopardi there, won $200,000 in prize money in the space of 24 hours, taking out the Dapto Puppy Classic with Topper Toretto, and then took out the Group 2 Ballarat Cup Final with Zambora Brocky. Cozzy, another big weekend coming up. Of course, the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup is the feature this Friday night. We'll talk about that. We'll preview and review all the big races on the Catching Pen Tuesday night, Sky Racing 2 at 6:30 p.m. Our form preview show at the boxes, 6 p.m. on Wednesday night on Sky Racing 2. And then I'm heading north of the border again.
Oh.
Can't wait.
You're just getting frequent flyer points the way you're going, weren't you?
It'd be nice to take time to be able to enjoy them, but I'm loving what we're doing because it's been a very tough year, but it's been a great year on the track. Off the track, not so, but let's just worry about the big winners.
Yep, terrific. Good on you, Duke. Have a good week.
Thanks, Cozzy.